Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saracino, Associate Editor of PC, and I'm here with Mike Christel, PharmCom's Editorial Director. We are pleased to be joined today by Tim Kress-Spetz, President at DoseID Consortium, an industry consortium established to unify an approach to serialized radiofrequency identification pharmaceutical products. PC actually explored the use of RFID technology in the healthcare space in our June issue. Tim is also co-founder of KitCheck, a tech solutions company that helps provide visibility into medication supply management. Tim launched DoseID in 2020, and with his role as president and a founding board member, he has been working to build membership with the goal of creating universal standards that ensure the quality, performance, and interoperability of RFID tag drugs as they move through the supply chain. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tim. We appreciate it.
So, Tim, by many accounts, the use of RFID technology for pharmaceutical traceability is making a comeback, especially in the hospital pharmacy setting. What do you believe have been the drivers of this resurgence?
As a lot of your listeners probably know, the FDA tried to mandate RFID quite a while back. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, it failed. A lot of the reason there is because they were trying to mandate these extra costs and nobody in the supply chain was really deriving much value from it. So my day job, as you mentioned, is with a company I co-founded called KitCheck. And we really tried to kind of flip that model a decade ago. We said, can we create value all the way downstream at the hospital to have RFID help them with a number of different workflow and patient safety issues to the point where it's a no-brainer for them to want to pay for it, and then start to work our way up the supply chain and convince pharmas that this is their customer. They need to start servicing them better and add this technology to their generic products. So I think really kind of inverting the demand model there was what kind of cracked the door open on this. You know, if hospitals are certainly willing to pay if they feel that there's value there, if it's going to give them efficiencies either from a labor perspective or an inventory management perspective, or if there's some really compelling patient safety benefits come along with this. So one of the ways we like to think about this from the hospital's perspective is what's the total cost of ownership of this drug, right? Not just what is the purchase price, but then when you factor in all the pharmacists and technicians and other people who are managing that drug inventory once it's inside the hospital, that starts to add up really quickly.
You did mention these generic drug makers. Mm-hmm. How are they in fact looking to get involved with the RFID tags? What have you been noticing from your perspective in terms of that?
I think that sort of goes hand in hand with one of my products, KitCheck. We see that when KitCheck is used in the hospital, it's primarily used to help them manage OR meds, anesthesia meds, and, you know, which tend to be kind of cheaper generic drugs. So when I kind of talked about the inverted supply chain before, you know, if that's where the demand is starting, that's kind of the pharmas that we end up talking to a lot at the other end of the spectrum. Now, that's a very KitCheck focused view of it. If we think about it from the DoseID perspective, we really want to expand this because we think that the same value that we're getting on some of these OR meds can be applied to other meds in the ecosystem.
Your intro kind of sort of goes into, you know, there's this layer involved with the regulatory compliance and, you know, different evolving regulations, whether in the US or Europe. And one of those, of course, is the Drug Supply Chain Security Act. Well, I guess you'll agree and others will agree that RFID is not considered a fix, you know, for compliance with the DSCSA. Do you see it as possible for adoption of this technology more readily to work hand in hand with compliance with the DSCSA?
Yeah. If you think about it from a technical perspective, what we're doing can achieve the requirements of DSCSA, right? Serialization at the unit of sale and those kinds of things. We take it a level deeper, which we can talk about later. We actually serialize at the unit dose. But at that point, it's really trivial to create a relationship between that vial and the 25 pack of vials that is, you know, the unit of sale. So if you have this technology in place, you can satisfy those DSCSA requirements. On the flip side, though, it's not necessarily the right technology to solve for DSCSA in all cases. So all rectangles are squares, but not all squares are rectangles, right? So a lot of it comes down to cost, right? We were talking about total cost of ownership before. merely putting RFID on there to comply with DSCSA may not make sense. But if you're putting RFID on there to comply with DSCSA and you're getting other value from the presence of that tag downstream, back to the total cost of ownership of that vial, it could start to make a lot of sense.
DSCSA goes down to the unit of sale, while RFID goes down to the unit of use. Mm-hmm. Kind of distinguish that a little bit more for the audience, maybe? Thanks.
Sure. Yeah. So again, going back to some of these generic drug manufacturers as an example here, let's take the drug propofol, right? That's typically in the hospital, in the OR, that's typically used in vials, 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100 milliliter vials. And when the manufacturer is making that, they obviously make the vials, but then they put it into a carton, and that carton may have 5, 10, 25 vials shrink-wrapped together, and that is the unit of sale. So DSCSA says, among other things, that that unit of sale has to be serialized, and you have to track, you know, various records as that 25-pack moves through the supply chain. So if you were only putting RFID on it to satisfy that, the cost may not make sense. What we do is we put the RFID tag on each vial in that pack, because the hospital is going to use individual vials, not the 25-pack. But then you can easily marry up the 25 serial numbers of those vials with the DSCSA serial number on the sellable unit. So it becomes a very simple parent-to-child relationship. So our recommendation, we actually participated in the FDA's call for pilot programs last year, and our recommendation was that they should allow the use of RFID for compliance with DSCSA. We're totally fine if and in fact, we recommend that they do suggest having barcodes on there also as a fallback in the case that you did choose to use RFID, and certainly that they don't mandate it must be done with RFID. So purely optional with a fallback, but in some scenarios that actually makes the most sense and delivers the most value to the supply chain.
Yeah, maybe pulling back just a little bit. We were curious about your background, you know, starting and launching Dose ID. What kind of inspired you and KitCheck in particular to help launch the consortium, you know, a year or so ago, you know, as a member, as a founding member?
So backing up a little bit, I'd say 6 or 7 years ago, we started working with 503B compounders in the U.S., helping them pre-tag their syringes. And we've learned a lot of lessons going through that process. You know, some of them really wanted to be independent and kind of invent their own approach to tagging here. And as you can imagine, you know, there's a lot of ways that that can go wrong. So having dealt with many of these, and then, you know, last year, finally having Sandoz, which is a division of Novartis, start to launch some tagged pharma products, we said, you know, this is really the time where we wanted to start to drive towards some standardization and interoperability here so that, one, we could help other pharmas get up and running quickly with all the lessons that we've learned, but two, so that we could ensure the quality and the performance of these products works well once it's out there in the ecosystem, and even allow other technology vendors beyond KitCheck, even including our direct competitors, to make use of this tag and all the associated drug information. So you can actually think of that tagged vial as the thing that moves through different inventory touch points and is interoperable between all of them. So we formed Dose ID to help create that standardization and to help document what that interoperability should look like, but also to bring everyone else in the ecosystem to the table so that they all have a voice in these discussions, and it's not just KitCheck mandating what it needs to be. The quality and the performance of these inlays is a really big deal for hospitals, more so than for the supply chain. So you've got lots of groups who are focused on the supply chain and they're doing a great job, right? You have like GS1 and RAIN and countless other groups. But what a lot of them are not really focused on at all is what happens when that inlay, when that RFID tag gets into the hospital and, you know, is actually used in these messy real world scenarios. The kits that KitCheck uses, for example, they can often have 100, 150 vials all jammed into a tight little tray that's the size of a cafeteria tray. And RFID doesn't like that. It doesn't like density. It doesn't like touching other things. It doesn't like liquids and metals. So when you have one little vial kind of marching down a conveyor belt in a manufacturing facility, it can be pretty easy to interact with that RFID tag. But when you have hundreds of these vials all crammed together, suddenly the performance starts to become really challenging. So, you know, we wanted to bring everyone together and start to find some cohesion within the industry about how we should approach this and also try to draft on some of the learnings and best practices that we've picked up over the years.
Yeah, that actually was a perfect segue for us, Tim, because I was curious in terms of the consortium itself, just to make up of the group, we know there's 20 plus members, there are various representations in terms of the supply chain. I know you told us that before we got on the air. Could you elaborate on that? How are these different representations able to work together successfully, and how are they able to really help define this consortium? Because it really ranges from pharma manufacturers to compounding pharmacies to label converters. Could you get into that process and how they're able to successfully work together?
Sure. Maybe it's helpful if I just sort of describe, if you were a pharma, here's the steps you would go through to get your drugs tagged. So when you're making a vial of some medication, you're buying some raw materials to do that manufacturing process. And one of those things is the label that actually goes around the vial. So if we start there and you're the pharma company, what you want to do is receive these labels with the RFID tag already embedded into it. And so when you apply it to the vial and that comes down the conveyor belt, it's going to go near an RFID antenna to read that. And some software is going to take that plus all your batch information and register that singular serialized vial in the cloud. But kind of working upstream from there, you have what's called a label converter. So they're the company that made your old paper label that would go on the vial. They're now performing a few extra steps for you. They're taking this RFID inlay and they're what they call inserting it into the label. They're actually putting it on the backside of that label with some adhesive. And then they're also doing a few other steps, which are new here. They're encoding a unique serial number onto that inlay. They're also reading a read-only sort of anti-counterfeit serial number off the inlay. And they're taking that data and registering it in the cloud. And then they're putting it through some QA checks to make sure that this is a good inlay, that it reads well with strong performance. Further upstream from there, you have the inlay manufacturer. So they're buying a chip, kind of like the processor that runs your laptop. And they're designing antennas and coupling all of that together into the thing that we call the RFID inlay. So you can start to see the collection of companies here that are involved to make the supply chain around the RFID portion of it work. Basically, we wanted to have all of them in this group because the performance and quality of these inlays really matters. We've seen a lot of issues over the years when we kind of don't focus enough on quality. We've seen shortages of raw materials where, with a big purchase of inlays, we've suddenly run out of raw materials and dried up the market for a while. So we want to make sure manufacturers are able to keep supplying us there. We've seen quality problems around the adhesive that's used or how the antenna is connected to the chip, all sorts of problems like that. So we want to make sure to have these folks at the table so that they can help us think through the various quality and performance issues from a manufacturing perspective. And then downstream, of course, from the pharma, you've got the wholesalers, you've kind of got the GPOs on the side a little bit, and then the hospital who's purchasing these products. And so ultimately, we think all of those folks probably want a seat at this table right now. As it stands today, the wholesalers and the GPOs aren't involved, though we certainly welcome them. I'd say based on the part of the supply chain that we have experience with today, they're a little bit more optional here, but I do think that there's value for them to join as well.
You mentioned that inlays are more important in the hospital setting than perhaps other points in the supply chain. And, converting drug inventory trays, can often be a burden for hospitals, as far as, we're pulling from refrigeration, things like that. When it comes to developing solutions like automation solutions that Kitchek and others work on, how do you ensure that the hospital, specifically the hospital pharmacist voice is heard in those discussions?
So we, as a consortium, we want to bring more hospital members into the fold. We've started a little bit more focused on the industry side as they're the paying members and we needed to sort of bootstrap this organization. But, we really need to turn our attention now to getting more hospitals in the mix. We've got a few on board already. But I do think that's one of the big things that differentiates us from some of the other organizations that we were talking about before. The hospital can actually talk about why all this stuff matters at the end of the chain, right? So they can talk to you about their challenges with inventory management. It's kind of funny, you send a pharmacist to school for the better part of a decade, and you throw them into a hospital and all of a sudden you expect them to be good at inventory management, right? That's not at all what they studied. It's a very complex discipline, but yet that's basically how all hospitals in the US operate today. So they can really tell you about a lot of those challenges. They can talk to you about drug shortages, which are just always an issue. And, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you ration your inventory? How do you find appropriate substitutions? They can talk to you about expired drugs and recalled drugs. So if you have thousands of vials in your hospital and something's recalled, how do you know you got every single instance of that? They can even talk to you about some of the less pleasant things here, as if that wasn't enough, right? You've got controlled substances and you've got folks who are stealing or abusing those drugs, and you have to track them with, you know, a real high degree of certainty. We've gotten calls from folks, you know, I found these two vials of propofol on the bathroom floor. Here's the serial numbers. Can you tell me who's the last person that was dealing with these? And so that's a, you know, that's just a reality that directors of pharmacy face every day here. And finally, patient safety, right? How do we start to better track the administration of these drugs to the patient? Maybe a recall comes out subsequent to that administration, and you want to be able to understand what were the potential effects of it. So, you know, the hospitals are much better positioned than I am to be able to articulate all of these challenges that they face every day that all of us upstream vendors can help them with.
Yeah, and you mentioned that they prefer, you know, they want the RFID label already embedded before it comes to them. Is it for pharma manufacturers? Is it a matter of, is it a challenge, or just kind of, how do you see it in kind of getting their mindset toward always tag the product and maintain that process beforehand, you know, and make it easier for the hospitals?
Well, from my vantage at KitCheck, again, it's focused a lot on generic drugs. And so if you think about what position a generic drug manufacturer is in, they've got low margin. They've got a product that's not very differentiated from that of all their peers. And so if you're thinking about adding RFID, you're thinking about what is my COGS increase here? So that can be super challenging. And, you know, some pharmas we come across are very innovative, and they recognize that other story that we were talking about earlier, right? What's the total cost of ownership for this vial, not just the sale price? And others are just slow and calcified and risk averse. And, you know, you have to go through 30 levels of committees before they'll entertain a business case. And, you know, it can take years. So the reactions have been varied. As I mentioned, Sandoz, you know, was the first to bring a number of drugs to market last year. We've loved working with them. They've been very quick to do this stuff. And I'm confident you'll see several other very large pharmas doing that same thing over the next year. But it does take a lot of work, and it really changes how they think about their products and their margin and their roadmap.
But you're starting to see that shift a little bit, and maybe embracing it's not just, you know, not just thinking the price of the vial, but the total cost of ownership.
Definitely. I mean, in some sense, a lot of this has gone hand in hand with the growth of KitCheck. So as more hospitals are using KitCheck and some of its competitors, there's more demand from the hospitals. So now pharmas are more willing to consider it. And we're just trying to ramp up this virtual cycle as best as we can.
Vaccines, of course, and the storage and distribution involved have been front and center for the past year or so amid the pandemic. Is DoseID working on, or maybe conceptualizing, any ideas of potential ways or standards the industry can use to tag, serialize, register, and track vaccine doses in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, even with COVID, we've seen some uses of this already. We had one customer who was managing the Pfizer vaccine in their hospital, and they were using KitCheck to track how long it was out of the freezer. And because it's serialized at the individual vial level, that gave them great visibility into that and helped automate most of their workflow around that. DoseID hasn't officially dipped its toe into the vaccine waters yet, but a number of our pharma members and prospects who we expect to join very soon, within the next month or two, have expressed great interest in this. So I think what you're going to see is we're getting the technical committees up and running right now, and they in turn will start to form the various working groups. And I think you will very quickly see one or more working groups around vaccines. So we're really excited for what that means. We know that this technology can definitely help, but we need others from around the industry to sit at the table with us, because from my perspective at KitCheck, we don't deal with a ton of vaccines, and I'm kind of really eager to hear what some of the other members have to say here.
So during today's conversation, Tim, we've spoken quite a bit on RFID inlays and the idea of serializing. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation? Anything else you believe our listeners would benefit from?
We haven't focused quite as much on the third leg of the stool, which is the central registry. So that's a cloud platform where each of those unit doses is registered. So you got the serial number, and you got all your basic drug information like drug concentration, package type, package size, things like that. But because it's in the cloud and it's not just like a static barcode or something, you can actually add to this record over time and you can have multiple systems read it. So if you're something like a refrigerated dose and you're being stored in an RFID refrigerator, that refrigerator can register the load and the unload events for that vial. And so the registry is now has this dynamic record about that unique vial that's growing over time. And then other systems downstream, like some system related to the administration of the drug, or even storage, you know, further downstream from the fridge, can check those dates and can look at, okay, what beyond use date was calculated once that vial came out of the fridge, and is the vial still within the appropriate time frame here where I can administer it, or does it have to be thrown away?
And that's obviously a huge component, right? It's, I feel as though it's the final piece that the registry plays. It's the final once it's before it's eventually administered. And now it's pretty remarkable how it's able to now cover the full process of these vials from start to finish within these hospital pharmacies. So
exactly. Because if you think about what came before, right, it was a barcode, and you can only encode into that barcode the things you know at the time you're encoding and printing it, right? And so when you're printing that barcode, you don't know down the road when it's going to come out of a refrigerator. So you're very limited in that world. Once you start to treat this like a serial number and a lookup or a reference, you really start to open up a lot of other possibilities. And so we think, you know, that's one of the core approaches here to the dose ID standard. And that's, you know, one of the things we want to evangelize here is that this really takes things a step beyond what you're used to with most barcode systems.
Indeed. And we really want to do thank you, Tim, for taking time to chat with Mike and I today, from everything ranging from Dose ID Consortium to what KitCheck has to offer. I feel like our listeners are going to be able to obtain quite a bit of value from this. So we really do appreciate you taking the time to kind of educate everybody on these subject matters. It means a lot to everybody.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. Thank you both for having me on today. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And for all you listeners, be sure to stay in the loop of our latest updates via our website at pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or on our SoundCloud page. Take care, everyone.